It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new law affecting the state attorney general might be holding up legal settlements that could bring in millions of dollars for Wisconsin, and it's gotten kind of weird this week. We'll get the latest. First, though, it's Food Friday. I love yummy baked desserts. You might, too. But actually baking them ourselves can be kind of intimidating, to me anyway. But our next guest says it doesn't have to be that way. Gemma Stafford is a chef, a YouTube star, and the author of the new book, Bigger, Bolder Baking, A Fearless Approach to Baking Anytime, Anywhere. Gemma, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you write that you got an early start in baking. How did you get started?
I started out, the first teacher I ever had in the kitchen was my mom. I grew up in Ireland, and I had the best teacher and the best cook to learn from. So my mom really taught me a lot. And one of the best things that she did for me was let me into the kitchen, let me help her, and let me experiment by myself. And that was really the beginning of my journey, my food journey, you know, the past few years, I've made my professional career, and now I've built a baking brand and now a book out of it.
Yeah, and you're a professional baker, but in this book, it seems like you're trying to make it so that we can make cool, maybe even fancy looking stuff, but not have it be intimidating, not require a professional baker's kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's what I focus on. I have worked as a professional chef for almost 15 years. And what I try and do is just really scale back my recipes and take away the fluffy stuff that I feel that you just don't need, you know, and just focus on just the steps and the things that are going to bring you success. So it's really important to me that recipes are just simple and they're accessible. And, you know, that's not always the case.
And you, in your book, you use the word spontaneous about the baking. You mentioned earlier, as a kid, you learned to kind of improvise. That is kind of the opposite of how I think about baking when I'm going in. I can improvise when I cook, but when I'm baking, I feel like I'm a chemist in a lab and I have to do things exactly the right way. How can we get over that?
It is true. When I say spontaneous, in the book, we have a variety of different recipes. And for instance, there's a recipe for making some mug cakes in the microwave. So, you know, there's those times where you want something sweet, but you don't want to, end up with a whole pile of washing up or to put in, you know, a lot of time and to make a cake. So you can make like a little cake in a minute in the microwave. And throughout the book, there's a lot of different recipes like that. You know, I like to think of them as minimal effort for maximum result. So, they might look complicated. They might look a lot of work went into them. But really, I try and keep them as simple as possible.
I want to ask about a couple techniques and preparation issues before we get into some of the recipes you shared with us. And I want to start with butter. And you talk about letting our butter warm up to room temperature, not having it be at fridge temperature. You see this all the time. Why do we do that?
And that's a great question. I use a lot of softened butter, especially in my first chapter, Wooden Spoon and Bowl, where there's a lot of cookies. And as a baker, I've always throughout my career had butter out at room temperature in my kitchen. I have some out right now. And it just makes it so much easier to combine with the rest of your ingredients. And when it comes to a lot of my cookies, it's really important to have it at room temperature so you can rub it in with your fingers or you can combine it or mix it by hand really well. So it's always just handy to have like a half a pound of butter out. So it's the perfect temperature for blending and creaming whenever when it comes to your spontaneous baking.
And speaking of chocolate, and we'll get into some chocolate chip cookies in a minute, you've got some guidelines to choose what chocolate is right for which recipe. A lot of your desserts have chocolate, a lot of them don't. But what are we thinking about when we select our chocolate?
You know, the Bigger Bolder Baking has a universal audience. And so I try to make sure that I'm as inclusive as I possibly can be. So chocolate is called different names all around the world. And we've got like 5 million fans tuning in from all over the world. And it's really important to me that they can all follow along. So in the book, for instance, you mentioned chocolate, I break it down into cocoa percentage. So, you know, we might call it bittersweet. In another country, they might call it something else. But I tell you the cocoa percentage of the chocolate that you're looking for. So no matter where you are, you can buy as close to the same chocolate as I use. And there's little, that's in the front of the book. And there's little bits like that throughout the whole book where I just try and set you up for success and give you these little tidbits that will help you along the way.
Talking to Gemma Stafford, her new book is called Bigger, Bolder Baking, A Fearless Approach to Baking Anytime, Anywhere. You can join in with your baking, your dessert baking questions at 800-642-1234. Well, Gemma, we've been teasing people with chocolate chip cookies. Let's talk about them. You shared this recipe with us. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday. Chocolate chip cookies are a standby. How do yours stand out?
You know, I think that it was when I came to write my first cookbook, I thought it was really important that I had an absolute killer chocolate chip cookie recipe in there that, you know, that would hopefully become people's go-to chocolate chip cookie. That recipe that I have in my book, it came from a Michelin star restaurant that I worked in San Francisco. And there's tips throughout the recipe because you kind of think a chocolate chip cookie is a chocolate chip cookie. But there's a lot of different things you can do with the dough and how you can prepare it to make it even better. So those little tips I give in the book and just really help you to make like an absolute, like that lovely bakery style, you know, gooey in the middle, crispy on the outside kind of chocolate chip cookie.
Well, one thing I wouldn't have thought to do, here's one instruction. Slowly mix the eggs one by one into your butter sugar mixture. I would just break the eggs and stir them in all together, probably kind of quickly. What does this do to mix them in slowly?
You know, that's really common when it comes to making cookies. And the reason you do it one by one is because if you add them all in at once, like you were saying, it curdles your mix. And even though that's not going to be detrimental to your cookies or to your cake, you try and avoid that as much as you can. So add one egg, combine it, add another one, combine it until they're all gone. That's really quite common.
And for your chocolate on this one, you say, hey, maybe not chocolate chips, get a chocolate bar, a bittersweet chocolate bar, and chop it up.
Yeah. You know, and I say that because sometimes the chocolate chips can be a little bit of a lower grade than a nice big bar of like bittersweet chocolate. So what I do is I get a really nice big bar and I chop it up into little bits. And what that does, it also gives you like big chunks, little chunks, and it just changes the texture a little bit. But then you are sure that you're going to end up with like a really rich chocolate, because sometimes you can't get chocolate chips that are the exact quality that you want in your cookie.
And so you have a story about these at that restaurant. You say, you know, your recipe calls for smaller cookies. At the restaurant, you made big cookies. The biggest hazard with these chocolate chip cookies was that one customer would come in and buy them out at one shot, and you'd have to real quick make up another batch.
Yeah, absolutely. We used to make 6-ounce cookies, which were just ginormous cookies. And they were incredible. But that was one of the issues, was that they were too popular.
We're talking to Gemma Stafford, author of the new book, Bigger, Bolder Baking, A Fearless Approach to Baking Anytime, Anywhere. She's with us to talk about baking delicious desserts on this week's edition of Food Friday. We've got that chocolate chip cookie recipe and a couple more we'll talk about. You can find them right now at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can call in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about baking cookies, cakes, pies, or other delicious baked desserts? Do you have a favorite recipe that you like to make? Maybe that looks pretty fancy, but the secret is it's actually pretty easy. Do you have a favorite bit of advice that you want to share or that you need? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about baking on this week's edition of Food Friday. Gemma Stafford stays with us. Her new book is called Bigger, Bolder Baking, A Fearless Approach to Baking Anytime, Anywhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a novice would-be baker with questions? Call in. If you're an experienced baker who has a great dessert to share with us, you can also call in. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Lisa with us in Milwaukee. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to ask about, Lisa?
Hi. I just had a question about coconut flour. I bake vegan, and I've tried to bake with it, and I'm really having a hard time making cookies or almost anything with it, except for maybe like a crust for stuff. But so I was wondering if she had like any tips at all for like using coconut flour or, yeah, how to make a good cookie with it or things like that. So,
Lisa,
yeah.
Thanks for the call. Gemma, coconut flour or something else to make a good vegan cookie, I guess.
That's a really good question. So the trick with coconut flour is that you can't sub it one for one for all-purpose flour or even a gluten-free flour. So it can be a little bit tricky. So when it comes to using it, I would say use like maybe 75% what is recommended of an all-purpose flour and use coconut or almond flour that way. I just wouldn't do it one for one because it never swaps out, and it also absorbs liquid differently. So yeah, it can be a little bit tricky, but I would say the best advice I can give is try and make recipes that already have that ingredient included rather than substituting it yourself, because that's where people can really have a problem.
All right. Hope that helps. Good luck, Lisa. Before we go back to our callers, I want to check out another recipe that you shared with us, Gemma. We're about to have a lot of apples here in Wisconsin, which is great. You've got a winter apple eaves pudding. Can you tell us about this one?
So that is a recipe that's very dear to my heart. That came from my mom. In Ireland, I grew up with a lot of recipes that were like puddings and tarts and a lot of like comfort foods, because it was, you know, so cold and it was winter for the majority of the year. And that one is a little bit of stewed apple on the bottom and then what we call a sponge cake on the top. And it's a really simple dessert, but it's just something that when I have it, it really kind of transports me back in time to when I was a young kid and my mom used to make it for us. And it's just, especially now heading into this time of year in September into the fall, it's just a really, really lovely recipe.
And it looks really easy, too, just looking through your instructions. This one, you got some apples, you got some base ingredients. It's pretty easy to pull together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's a good point that in the book, the recipes, I try and keep it to less than 10 ingredients and then also to less than 10 steps, because just as not to overwhelm the reader and just to make it as easy as possible. So like I said, just really giving you the information that you need.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Jane is with us in Elko. Jane, hi.
Hi there. So nice to talk to you, both of you. When my grandsons go to college, the first thing I ever send them is chocolate chip cookies. And I used to put half butter and half Crisco and thinking that might be a little, you know, more spunk in the cookie, but they didn't turn out this year. So I started, that was a week ago. So then this week I did another batch and I just used butter and I followed just the Toll House recipe. I'm definitely going to get your book, but they still didn't taste that good. Now I mixed all four eggs together, whipped them up, and then I just put in a little at a time, which I guess we're not supposed to do. Supposed to put one egg at a time. But the other question I have, can flour get old, you know, if you don't use flour that much? Or I can't figure out why they aren't turning out like I used to make them.
All right. Good college grandma, first of all, Jade. I love that. Can older flour spoil our cookies, Gemma?
Yeah, flour can get old, absolutely. You know, it really does have a shelf life of around 4 months. If you don't use it that often, I would say keep it in the fridge, and it does keep it fresher. The fact that you're getting different results than you never used to before is a little bit strange. I use all butter. I do know that a lot of people like to do Crisco in their cookies. I would recommend trying my cookie and what I do is it is in the chocolate chip cookie, it's melted butter, brown sugar and white sugar. And then, yes, you know, add in one egg at a time and just mix it in. It's really, it's not a fussy recipe and quite simple. And a lot of times this doesn't come down to the technique. It just comes down to just the little differences in a recipe.
Thanks a lot for that call. I had some quick bread failures for a while, and I finally tracked it down to my baking soda was too old. That's another ingredient we don't really think of going bad, but I guess it can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Baking soda and baking powder, definitely, they have a sell-by date. And it's a good thing just to keep those for a few months. But I know that coming around to the holidays, you look at it and you realize the last time you bought it was the Christmas before. So it can happen. But, you know, and I'm guilty of using those things as well. But try and keep them as fresh as you can.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Gemma Stafford, author of the new book, Bigger, Bolder Baking, A Fearless Approach to Baking Anytime, Anywhere. Let's bring in another caller. We've got David on the line in Toma. David, hi.
Hey. So we went on a family vacation this summer to Italy, and they had those great croissants or cornettos for breakfast. And I got back and tried to make them, and boy, it was a lot of work and fairly miserable, and they didn't taste very good. Is it possible to make those at home?
David, thanks. Gemma, I think of a croissant as advanced baking. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. They're definitely something that is a labor of love. And when I go to France and to Italy and places like that, I would enjoy as many as I can. And unfortunately, it's just one of those things that, you know, they are a little bit more advanced. They do take extra steps. And then also a large part of it comes down to ingredients. You know, we're in a different country, and growing up in Ireland, I know that I had access to different ingredients, and it might be something as simple as the different butter, the different flour and the different climate.
All right. Well, good luck with that. If you're willing to be a mad scientist at home and try different recipes, let us know if it turns out. Gemma, we've got one more recipe that you've shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. I like bread pudding. I like throwing it together. I like using up bread that would get thrown away otherwise. Here's one you've got, though. Chocolate bread and butter pudding. This sounds and looks fantastic. Tell us about this one.
So this is a recipe that I also got from a restaurant that I worked at in San Francisco. And it's just a little bit of a twist. I grew up eating a lot of bread and butter pudding, very traditional with raisins and cinnamon. But this one is just, it's a little bit more sophisticated and a little bit more elevated. And I use, in this recipe, I again use a bittersweet chocolate, and it just is really rich and comforting. And it's served warm with vanilla ice cream, and it just really hits the spot. When you want something that's really decadent and kind of stick to your ribs kind of dessert, this is definitely it.
And does it matter what kind of bread we're using in something like this?
You know, honestly, I've made this with all different varieties of bread. If you have the luxury of using a brioche or a challah, then it will make your dessert like that little bit richer, that little bit sweeter. But I have often made this with just regular white sliced bread, not sourdough, just a regular white loaf. And it works really well.
And you you have a nice presentation touch as an option that you've done in restaurants. Describe this to me. You end up with circular pieces of this bread pudding?
Well, yeah, previously we would have cut it out into circles to make it for a kind of five-star presentation. But for me, personally, at home when I'm cooking, I spoon it straight into the dish with some ice cream on top.
Now, Gemma, are you constantly developing new ideas and new recipes for baked desserts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on biggerbolderbaking.com, I have over 500 recipes. We have got tons of videos up there. And, you know, the book was something that a huge amount of work went into, 120 recipes. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. I have a website and a YouTube channel and these other outlets that were constantly making new recipes for new videos.
And Gemma, with just a couple minutes left, can you point us toward a couple of pratfalls that the novice baker, like me, say, should watch out for? Easy mistakes to avoid.
You know, I would say the room temperature butter is a really good one, because that's the basis for a lot of just your baking 101. And then also room temperature eggs are really important. They combine into your ingredients so much better. And then I would say, you know, like lots of people have trouble with their oven. You know your oven best. If it seems to be a little bit off, like get yourself a $10 thermometer and put it in there. And the best thing I'd say you can do is just like be confident in the kitchen and go in with the mindset of that you've got this and, you know, you're going to nail it. And that a lot of times that's half the battle.
And I wanted to ask you, Gemma, before we run out of time, about waffles. Not the recipe, but apparently one of your biggest fans. We've got some pictures of Waffles, the dog, in your cookbook.
Waffles is a fan favorite. I'm very glad you mentioned him.
Does Waffles watch as you bake usually?
Waffles is in any YouTube video that you watch me, you can just imagine by my feet there's a dog and he's never ever too far away.
All right. Well, you've got to be careful walking around with bowls of ingredients with waffles underfoot, I imagine.
Yeah.
Gemma, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Been talking to Gemma Stafford. She's a chef. You can watch her videos on YouTube, and her new cookbook we've been talking about is called Bigger Bolder Baking, a fearless approach to baking anytime, anywhere. She joined us to share some great desserts and techniques and a recipe and ingredient tips as well. You can find three of the recipes she shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. We've got the 5-star chocolate chip cookies, chocolate bread and butter pudding, and the winter apple Eve's pudding. You are welcome to make any of those and send them to Wisconsin Public Radio, care of... No, you probably won't do that. But let us know if you try any of those recipes. Let us know how they came out and how people reacted. Again, that's over at WPR.org/Food Friday.